Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, it's Clean Keys, Real Talk, episode 140. I actually have no idea how it's only episode 140, to be honest. I was thinking about that when I was writing this up earlier, and I was like, I have no idea how we've only done 140 episodes, because we've actually been on the air for a couple of years now. We've been on for almost 3 years now, so I actually have no logical idea about how it's only been 140 episodes. But either way, feels like a whole lot more. And maybe it's just the time. The quality over quantity aspect of it. The time feels like so much more because it's we've had so many good moments on the air, so it feels like we've had so many more episodes. But that's just what that is. Maybe Lee has an idea. Lee, how you doing tonight, bro?
Yo, what's going on, my man?
So you heard what I was just saying. I actually have no idea how we're only at episode 140. Like, you know how that's
I don't even know. Are you saying
it's too long? I feel like we've done a lot more.
In a way, yes. But in a way, no, because we were at one point in time doing a lot of other stuff outside of the UFC. So, you know, we were doing shows, you know, we were just talking about whatever came to our mind. But yeah, man, it seems like we've been up here for a while, though.
Nah, definitely. If you would ask me, I would think we were on like at least episode 300 by now. But I don't know. Like I said, maybe it's just the amount of time that we spent on the air seems like it's been more episodes. But because we've definitely spent a lot of time on air, never mind the number of episodes. The time we spent is, you know, sometimes
yeah.
We have longer episodes. The listeners know sometimes we have longer episodes because we get really into our topics and things we might be debating, you know, certain fights or talking about certain world issues or whatever it is. We're kind of getting really diving into at the time. Sometimes we go longer. So plus we do an hour show every week, at least every week. So maybe that just shows how consistent we are.
I think some shows we probably did like 90 minute shows. And we probably went over, then, you know, I know our hour shows, we normally go over an hour. We normally do about an hour and 15 minutes. So, you know, but when you like doing it, it don't matter.
Exactly. No, that's why I'm saying. I feel like it's time well spent. You know, sometimes I know there's been a few times we've done 2 hour shows. I remember a couple, not that many, but there's been a few times we hit the 2 hour mark up on here, just going into whatever it was that we, you know, because there was a time where we kind of jumped from topic to topic to topic on here and didn't really stay on just, you know, one thing. So, but the one thing tonight is a very big thing. So, if the listener is unaware, you now are being reminded that tomorrow, Saturday, May 9th, the Ultimate Fighting Championship, live from Jacksonville, Florida, is hosting UFC 249, featuring an interim lightweight title bout between Tony Ferguson, who's currently on a 12-fight win streak, and Justin Gaethje, who I think is like number 3 in the world. And it's going to be excellent. And the card is stacked from top to bottom. This is one of those cards that if you wanted somebody to get into UFC, this is where you have them start watching, because this is going to be one of the best cards of all time. And it is, there are so many bangers on the card, the main card and prelims. The prelim card could pretty much be a main card. If you were to put that prelim card as the main card and this were, you know, a fight night, people would not think anything of it. That would be totally normal as a main card, and you could still have a prelim card underneath that main card, and you would have a whole, you know, a whole thing right there. So that's what that is. The card is absolutely stacked out to the high heavens. The MMA gods can touch the card because it's all the way up in the heavens, so that the MMA gods are touching the card in the heavens. And yeah, I'm going off on a spiel. How you feel about it? Stacked to the heavens or no?
I think normally when we get super amped about a fight card, normally it lets you down. So I try to stay even keel. Because there are some good fights on this card for sure. But the thing is this, regardless of anything that's going on, it's the only thing we got as far as a live sporting event. So if you had two, let's say if half the card went to the judges' scorecard, it won't matter because we're just so happy to have live sports right now. And, you know, if the card lives up to billing, you know, maybe it can rival the first MSG card. You know, the first MSG card was awesome. You know, there's been a lot of cards that when you look at them on paper, you'd be like, man, good gracious, this card is stacked. And then you have two or three fights that you think will be bangers that end up being snoozers. But, you know, just stay even keel, man, and, you know, wait for tomorrow, man. Hopefully all the fighters, like I've been saying the whole time, they get to the octagon healthy and they leave the octagon healthy and they get back to their families healthy.
Well, I feel like you're almost going to say hopefully all the fighters make weight. You almost said it, but you maybe you weren't ever going to say it, but I think the thought was on your mind at some point today, maybe first thing this morning when you woke up this morning, you were like, man, hopefully all the fighters make weight. Or maybe yesterday you were thinking it, man, hopefully all the fighters make weight. I know at some point this week you had that thought cross your mind that because there's always something that happens and we might lose a fight or two.
Actually, I thought more fighters would miss weight because of the circumstances that are going on in the world. I thought more than one fighter would miss weight. But at the same time, me and you, we are hard on fighters that don't make weight because you are a professional. One part about being a professional is making weight. So I was just glad the main event, the co-main event are actually on, being that those are two title fights and you want those guys to be making weight. You know, Jeremy Stephens missing weight. I was kind of shocked by that. But at the same time, I think Jeremy Stephens is a guy now that I think he's a journeyman. You know, I think he'll just be a guy that the UFC keep around because he could put on his side and fight. But, you know, we got some good fights, man, and looking forward to tomorrow.
Yeah, I've been so excited this week. Today I actually had to take a day to just have a relaxing day and make sure that I have my batteries charged for tomorrow because I feel like it's going to be a marathon from start to finish tomorrow. And I'm going to be ready from the very first bell to watch the very first fight, to see the very first jab connect. And I will not miss a I will try my best to not miss a single significant strike from this entire fight, entire card. But I, you know, today I tried to just charge up the batteries because I know tomorrow I'm gonna be so excited. You know, from the moment I wake up to realize I've been waiting for this, and I was, you know, one of the people who was vouching for them to do it on April 18th, but you know that maybe at that time it wasn't morally right to do, but a couple weeks, roughly 3 weeks later. Somehow it is. Somehow it's extremely different. A lot of people's tones have changed about this. 3 weeks ago, they were disgusted at the UFC, and all of a sudden, 3 weeks later now, everybody can't wait to see the fight card tomorrow. So that's great. I'm glad to see that. Somehow, it still manages to be people hating. And, you know, there's always naysayers. There's always people that have something negative to say about everything. And that's may Lord have mercy on their soul. But you know, I'm excited, and I'm extremely happy.
Oh, wow.
I'm not thinking about any of that. I'm not thinking about any of that stuff. And I'm not in that pessimist, you know, mind state that a lot of people tend to be in right now. And I'm trying to think, because I'm trying to think positively. I feel like the fighters are getting tested, you know, multiple times leading up to the fight. You know, I read that they took they took a swab test just before they did the small, you know, the small scale face offs that they did today. And they also took, and I know they tested them a time previous to that, which I think that might have been just before the weigh-ins. They might have tested them just before they got on the scale there. So I feel like the UFC is definitely being thorough, and I'm very happy to see that things are being done that way. I did see that the fighters are still shaking hands and things like that. But, you know, I don't really understand to a certain extent what people really want to see, because you can't be outraged that the fighters are shaking hands at the face-off, but not be outraged that they're going to be punching each other and grappling each other and wrestling in the cage. So it doesn't really make sense to point out the fact that they shake hands at the face-off, but not point out that they're actually going to be making high levels of contact during the fight in the cage. So to not like point out both things, it just seems very odd to me. But anyways, do you feel like that was out of line to say?
I just think a lot of people, when during this time, they are thinking big picture, you know, what's going on in the world, you know, maybe having sports isn't the most important thing in the world right now, probably, you know, making sure everybody's safe and all this. But at the same time, you know, that was my stance a month ago. And my stance now is, and my stance a month ago was, I just didn't feel Dana was giving the coronavirus the respect it deserved or it needed. To a certain extent, I still don't think that he is giving the virus the respect that it needs. But I think the people around him is giving the virus the respect that it needs to make sure that the fighters and the staff and all everybody involved is going to be safe. I think Dana was looking more of, I can be the only show in town. How can I go about making this happen? And he was just looking at that instead of, you know, being in the present. We are in a pandemic. And people could give, I would say last month, people could probably give two shits about a UFC fight card. And it's probably more people Saturday that's going to be like, I'm not watching that, you know, what is the UFC? But us as fans, you know, it's going to be good to see something, you know, good to see the fighters in there, good to see something live. You know, I'm glad to hear that the UFC is taking the fighter's safety, you know, seriously. And that's been my stance the whole time. I haven't wavered on that. You can go back and listen to the last six or seven shows. That's been my thing. And it's still my thing, but at the same time, I feel the UFC is actually taking the steps to make sure everybody's safe, and that's all I really care about. And tomorrow, I'll be watching intently, you know. I won't be having a fight party, but I'll be downstairs in my basement by myself watching the fight. And, you know, and I'll be praying that everybody leave there safe.
Yeah, I mean, I'm over the moon for the card. You know, I'm way over the moon. You know, I'm going to just I just pulled up the full card right now because we're going to go ahead and we're going to get into some predictions right now. We're going to do some breakdown. We're going to do some analysis right here. And that's pretty much where it's at. You know, I'm not going to, you know, there will be no room for any naysayers on Saturday. Tomorrow is fight day. And there will be nothing else that I would rather be doing tomorrow than to be watching UFC 249 live from Jacksonville, Florida, featuring an interim lightweight title bout between Tony Ferguson and Justin Gaethje. There is no other fight that I would have wanted to see in the main event. It's absolutely perfect. And thank you to my president, Dana White, for putting this together. I am so thankful for this event. And nothing in the world is perfect, this card might just be perfect. And to start off, I'm going to pull up the full card right now. Well, actually, it already is pulled up right now. And the first one I'm going to bring up is, I'm not too familiar with this guy, Ryan Spann, but he's a really big favorite in the Sam Alvey fight. Yeah, you have Ryan Spann versus Sam Alvey, light heavyweight division. Ryan Spann's at -420 favorite. I remember watching this guy fight. Apparently it's supposed to be something special. I don't really remember, but I know Sam Alvey loses a lot. So if I was somebody betting, I would just go ahead and pick Ryan Spann because Sam Alvey, I feel like he's a prelim fighter. I feel like he's just a true prelim fighter. He just does just good enough, kind of up and down with his fights. And meanwhile, I have a caller on the line too. I'm gonna jump a caller in. Hold on one second. Hold on. Yo. Yeah, you're on.
Yo.
All right, perfect. Now I figured you should be able to. Just making sure that I was had crossed over. No, but I can.
Yeah, man,
you.
I'm too. Hey, Lee, what's going on, Kev? What's going on, guys?
Yo, what's going on, my man?
How you guys doing this evening?
Man, hey, another day, another way, man. Everybody healthy and out. So, you know, Mother's Day this weekend, so it's all good, man. Oh, my bad. Shout out to all the moms out there. Happy Mother's Day for Lee and Keys. You know, mothers are UFC fans too.
Yes, sir. Can't forget about those
for
mothers
sure.
out there, that's for sure.
Yep.
Yeah, no, that's a fact, bro.
Yeah, right, my Mother's Day gift just came in the mail. But yeah, I almost wanted to get into the predictions, but I'm going to save the predictions and I'm going to ask because since we had a caller on, I wanted to jump in and we'll transition out of that. We'll get back to the predictions. I'm going to just put that aside on the shelf right there, but it's not going to be lonely. We're going to get right back to it. What would you say is the number one fight you're looking forward to most on this card?
Josh. Me personally, Vicente Luque versus Nico Price. I think that fight has to be fight of the night. I think they're both on a good roll right now. They're the future of the UFC. And I think these two guys will put on a hell of a performance tomorrow. And I'm looking forward to that fight. That's the fight I want to see tomorrow.
And well, yeah, I think that one definitely has potential to be fight of the night. You know, I see that one likely going the whole three rounds, maybe have like a late third round knockout because, you know, Nico Price tends to have those kinds of out of nowhere knockouts that you don't expect. But Luque is not a slouch either. I don't think it's an easy fight for either one of those guys. I feel like it's going to be a very – I'm actually kind of surprised that Vicente is a -280 favorite. I really kind of baffled at that betting line. Nico Price +230, I don't really understand that whole thing, but I feel like the fight is much more. I feel like it's a pick 'em. I don't understand where that line came from. I'm very lost at that.
And to be honest, this fight should be on the main card, not the Greg Hardy fight.
Yeah, that too. Yeah, no, I can't argue that.
I'm going to appreciate watching that fight third out the gate, though. Something to look forward to the first, like, couple fights, you know. A really good matchup.
So, which fight are you looking forward to the most, Josh?
So, I'm kind of torn. I mean, off the bat, what I'm kind of drawn to is the matchup between Ngannou and Rozenstruik. But I feel like there is a high potential for some slack performances, like a very defensive fight, because they're both so worried about each other. But the hype and the potential of that matchup is really intriguing for me. But if I had to pick something like on the more safe side that I'm looking forward to that I'd probably say is going to be worthwhile, I'd probably say the Pettis-Cerrone fight. I see someone getting KO'd in that fight for sure.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think the Ngannou-Rozenstruik fight would be more exciting if they made it for the interim heavyweight championship. I think you will see both guys come out there, put on
more
a
offensive
show. Yeah, I think if it was for the interim belt, you will see them guys actually come out there and leave it all in the ring, in the octagon. I'm sorry. But I'm kind of with
you.
Being that, you know, it has the opportunity to be Derek Lewis and Ngannou too. It does have that opportunity, but I think these two guys, especially Ngannou, he's been on so long, and he keeps on clamoring for a title shot. So I don't think he's going to sit back and wait. I think he's going to go in there and try to push the pace.
I mean, a lot of people are saying that it could look like a sequel to Ngannou and Derek Lewis, where they were both just gun-shy the whole fight.
I hope not. I'll be very disappointed. But at the same time, it's heavyweights. You never know what heavyweight's going to kill you.
Another thing
I'd probably throw into
the mix here is, like, the stage that they're on. You know, I feel like there's very high expectations for these fights tomorrow night. Because I know, like, a lot of people are going to be watching. This is the first sporting event that's back in action for, what are we going on, 8-9 weeks here? So I feel like, you know, especially on the main card, like, there's a lot of expectations that I feel like they're not going to, you know, just sit in their corner and not, you know, kind of, like, go for it. I feel like, you know, with all the eyes watching, they're going to really go for it. Plus, I don't know if there's an incentive for these two financially to get, like, a fight bonus. But that matchup just has fight bonus written all over it if they, like, actually go for it, you know? I don't know.
The interesting thing to me about that fight, and I think it could be, if they were to slug it out the way that I, like, if they were to fight Rozenstruik's style of fight, I think it could be fight of the night. Because Rozenstruik, if you look at his last fight, he really likes to pick his shots, and it's kind of a breath of fresh air to watch him, because he's very he's selective. He doesn't just, like, throw wild punches like some guys tend to do that we see. He's very selective, and he takes his time, and you know, and he has a decent cardio. I mean, he looked okay to me in the third round versus Overeem, even though I felt like he was down on the scorecards. That doesn't mean his gas tank was empty. I don't think he looked like he didn't appear to be exhausted. I mean, maybe he was exhausted, but he definitely held up better than most heavyweights that we see. And I think if Rozenstruik gets to fight his fight, which it's we don't really know, because it's hard to fight your fight versus Francis Ngannou, because he just does what he does. But you know, if he's able to kind of, you know, if he were to get through the first round and let Ngannou kind of get, you know, throw a lot of his power shots, and maybe maybe Rozenstruik plays it defensive in the first round just to weather the storm. If he could get into the second round and Ngannou kind of worn out in the second round, I think we could see a more, back and forth between the two. An offensive, a mix of offense and defense, but a more back and forth between the two. Maybe Ngannou stands and bang for a whole two rounds, or maybe even a whole three rounds, something that we've never seen from him before. We've never seen him stand and bang for more than a round. And I know I haven't. So that fight could be fight of the night if it goes that way. Otherwise, you know, if it goes Ngannou's way, then it's probably just going to be knockout of the night when he wins the fight. But if Rozenstruik can get out of the first round, I think the fight leans in his favor after the first round. So it could be really good, though. It could be really good. I hope that they don't get gun-shy. I hope they just go for it.
Actually, I want to go back to something Josh said. Josh said something about a lot of people going to be watching the fight tomorrow. And I wanted to throw this out here to both of you guys. You think there are going to be a lot of pay-per-view buys with this for this UFC event, being that, you know, the unemployment rate is so high and, you know, there's a lot of other stuff going in the world that people can spend their money on? I think the fight, I'll go ahead and throw it out there and let you guys answer, and then I'll come back with what I think. So you guys think there'll be a lot of pay-per-view buys for this event tomorrow?
I mean, my first instinct says yes, there will be a lot of buys, but then being reminded of that big variable, it makes me question how many there will be. Because it's a good point. A lot of people don't have money to be putting towards, you know, extracurricular things. They kind of have to. A lot of people are barely able to pay their bills, you know, and if they did have, you know, extra money, they'd have to put that towards paying their bills. A lot of people have had, you know, are in a situation now where they have to, I forget what that term is, but when you have to kind of delay your bills, I forget what that word is, but a lot of people are in that space, and a lot of people can't get unemployment. They don't have much. So it's a good point. Now, I'm not sure, because my first instinct says yes, but then given that variable, I'm unsure.
Yeah, I see where you guys are coming from, both the financial aspect of it, but this is I definitely see that side of it, but my perspective is, like, look at how many pay-per-views are bought with a lot of people, like, at another location watching it. Like, say, like, a Buffalo Wild Wings or Hooters, maybe. You know, there's so many people that don't buy pay-per-views, and it still seems to get so many pay-per-views. Or at least, like, the big matchups. And this is the most stacked card almost ever on UFC, right? This has to be one of the most stacked cards. So I feel like there's a lot more opportunity for people to buy it, because a lot more people are at home. You know, they're not going out to watch it somewhere else. So a lot of, especially with the social distancing, not too many people are going to be going over someone else's house to watch it. Like, there's a lot of solo people that are going to have the opportunity to buy it. But yes, with the financial aspect, maybe not. But I mean, the $65 price point, I feel like it's reasonably in range, I feel like, where it might be more kind of affordable to buy. Even under these circumstances, I mean, I could be wrong. You know, I don't know everyone's financial point. And for those who couldn't, who can't, I mean, I totally understand that. These are very, you know, very difficult, strenuous times. But I feel like it can be possibly manageable for a lot of people as well. So I see this beating expectations in terms of, you know, how many pay-per-views.
But at the same time too, I think a lot of it, it'll definitely be streamed. And I think if they have, I don't know if they're planning to do the whole thing, like if the prelims are on ESPN Plus, so therefore you have that like paywall in front of the prelims. Like, I don't know if the prelims are being aired on the regular ESPN network. I actually kind of hope they would be, because at least if people weren't, if, okay,
it's
yeah,
on
so
ESPN,
if they, I mean,
and
if,
ESPN Plus, so.
All right, so if the prelims are on regular ESPN Network, then that's good. If people had no other way, I mean, we all know that they could stream the fight if they really wanted to. I mean, let's be real. If people wanted to find a way to watch the fight, they can find a way to watch the fight. Let's not act like we're not in 2020 here. I mean, if they want to pull up the fight online, they can do it, and they don't have to pay anything for it. So let's just be honest about that right now. So, and I think what will happen is there'll be – the event will be streamed at a very high rate. So not even thinking about the price point of the pay-per-view, because a lot of people wouldn't even buy the pay-per-view and wouldn't watch it in that way anyways. A lot of people would probably just stream it. And if they're not streaming it, like Josh said, they'd probably be watching it at a sports bar. Well, they'd be watching it at Hooters. And they wouldn't be, and in that case, they're obviously not paying for it anyways, unless they, you know, charge you $10 at the door. But most Hooters don't even do that, unless it's like a Mayweather fight or something like that. But, yeah, I think that a lot of people will be watching it, but I don't know about the pay-per-view buys. I do think that a lot of people out there are still getting, a lot of people out there got a stimulus check. A lot of people out there have received their unemployment benefits, and I have a lot of friends that have told me they're getting paid more money on unemployment than they were with their actual job. So I'm not saying that like people that I've talked to represents the whole population. Obviously it doesn't, but you know, everyone has different situations, but still a lot of people have received their unemployment and I think can buy the pay-per-view. So I don't think it'll be affected too much. Like I absolutely do not think that this pay-per-view is going to be a flop. Like I don't think that at all. This pay-per-view, I think, will sell decently. The question is, will it sell high numbers? It'll at least sell decently, but the question for me is, will it sell high numbers?
I'll propose this. Do you think that they potentially should have made it even more affordable, say decrease the price due to the circumstances? Is that allowed? Do you think they could do something like that? And therefore, maybe more people be more enticed to, say, buy it as opposed to stream it, say if it was, you know, $20, $30. Just the convenience of it, you know, like the live stream, it's probably more quality than, you know, something online you could probably find, third party.
I kind of agree with that aspect of it as far as the business side. That instead of it being $70, maybe it's $35 or $40. You know, I think more people would be more enthralled to buy it than stream it because, you know, let's be real. We go out and waste $30 to $40 in a week. You easily waste that. Now, $70, that's a stretch for me. I know I don't waste $70 in a week. I think this will probably be, I don't think the sales will be big, but I think the streaming is going to be ridiculous. I think this will probably be one of the highest illegally watched cards or events probably in recent history because a lot of people can't afford. Yeah, I think a lot of people can't afford to pay $70 right now. And I think with Fire Sticks, I think with other options where you can watch the fight without paying for it, I think a lot of people will watch it, but a lot of people won't buy it, if that makes sense.
I think this one will also be passed around more. A lot of people, I think, are going to – I don't know, like, how it would work because I haven't really tried to do it. But, like, if you buy a pay-per-view onto your ESPN Plus account, I'm wondering how, like, I'm sure there's some way, like, if you're a computer whiz, you probably found out a way to do it. But if you buy the thing through ESPN Plus on your TV and then you give someone else your login who's on their TV at a different house, if they would be able to also watch pay-per-view at the same time. And if there is a way, and I'm sure there is because there's a lot of smart people out there that would find out that they would be doing it. And I think this time around, that's what you'll see is that there will be pay-per-view buys, but those people, I think you'll see like the IP address that bought it will also be given out to like four or five other different IP addresses. Like that one pay-per-view account, that one pay-per-view is actually going to be watched on like five, six different TVs, maybe even more.
Yeah. So this is actually something I do, Kev. So with an ESPN Plus account, which I do have actually, you're allowed, I think it's between five and six other logins. So I actually gave my login information to my friend Justin, and he was able to log in because I forget which pay-per-view I actually bought through ESPN Plus. It was probably, I don't know, a couple months back. It might have been the one that Holloway was on, I think. What was the Holloway card where there was two title fights? It was Holloway, and he got smacked. And then there was another title fight, I think.
Oh, it was the Usman and Covington card.
Yeah, I think that was the fight that I bought on ESPN Plus, and I gave it to Justin, and he was able to log in at his house online, and he was able to watch it because I had bought it. So I could have had five or six other people do that as well. But I'll throw this out here too. What kind of concerns me, thinking about all the people potentially streaming it like online for free, do you think that has the potential to overload the system and the site to crash or not function as well because so many more people are going to have the ability to stream it online at home? That say too many people are on it, so the stream doesn't work as well. You know, maybe there's a lot of lagging. Maybe there's a lot of, like, fuzz or whatever.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of buffering. There's going to be a lot of buffering for sure. Already, yeah. I mean, because when I watched the which one was it that I watched? It was the Usman Covington. I watched it on the Fire Stick, and you could tell, like, towards the co-main event and the main event, that it would start to be more eyes on it because it got really, really just buffering. I was like, damn. But, these companies got to get smarter if you're going to illegally show a fight. You still want it to be of high quality. So it's like, what can they really do? I mean, can they really increase the bandwidth? Probably not. Because it's going all around the world. So, that's one of the things. That's one of the things you really got to worry about when you watch it illegally, is that those are things that's going to happen with the buffering. You might be behind maybe 2-3 minutes, something like that. But I just think right now it's definitely probably going to be the most illegally watched fight card. Probably says Mayweather and Pacquiao. I just think that's gonna happen.
Is that
man.
A statistic? Do they keep tabs on that? Like, is there a way to track that? Is there a way to track that?
I don't think you can track that because that'd be crazy though. If they could track it, I would love to see what the numbers would be.
Oh, fact.
I mean, I think they could. They would just have to track all the IP addresses that are connected to the stream, which I think can be done, it'll definitely be illegally streamed. No, definitely this card will be super illegally streamed. I think right now, since we have 12 fights, I feel like this is a good time to get into predictions. I think we should jump into predictions. Lee, you think this is a good time to get into predictions?
Yeah, I know we're not going to do our 12, are we?
We don't have to do all 12, but even without doing all 12, there's still, I mean, even if we did 7, I feel like there's a lot to unpack in 7 fights to where
let's start with
would be a good time to.
Because I really don't think we really care too much about the Greg Hardy fight, so we can skip that one.
That was the fight I was most looking forward to, bro.
And look, that might be a highlight reel for you on this show, Lee. That might be a highlight for you on this show, that moment right there. that might have just been an all-time moment.
We can leapfrog
that you
over
just
that
had.
Right? There's no need to no dialogue.
Lee's,
no
like,
dialogue
max, Lee's like there is max 11 fights that we would do predictions for.
They're gonna pass.
Hey,
oh man.
Hey, I'm just keeping it real, man. But look,
I appreciate it. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, man.
I
think we start with the Vicente Luque fight and move on up, man.
Hey, no, but hey, what about Jacare and Uriah Hall? You don't want to do predictions for that one?
Yeah, I said move up.
All right, well,
yeah, so start with the price.
Start with Jacare underneath Luque and Price. So I was thinking that you were skipping them, but maybe the list is
they come on after Luque.
Okay, so they're just in a different order then, because I'm looking at CBS Sports. All right, so let's start with Jacare and Uriah Hall. So you're already there, so what do you think about that one? Jacare is a -125 favorite. This is a close fight for him. You know, Uriah Hall is a +105. This is a close betting line.
The crazy part about this fight is Jacare is moving back down in weight, right? Or is he fighting at 205? This is at middleweight, right?
Yeah, it's 185. That middleweight.
Yeah, that middleweight. Man, something to me think Uriah Hall is going to pull the upset. I don't know why I feel this way.
Yeah.
But I just feel like he's going to pull the upset. I say Uriah Hall by unanimous decision. No, by split decision in a close fight over Jacare, who probably is going to gas out probably in part of the middle of the second and third round. So I'm going with Uriah Hall by split decision in an upset.
Well, it's, you know, Uriah Hall has been posting some things leading up to this. Seems to be super motivated. I mean, and he always lasts a while in his fights. You know, when he does fight, he always stays in there for a while. So Jacare also hasn't looked great lately. I want to say his last two fights, I really was disappointed with his performance. When he went up to 205, I was super disappointed. I couldn't believe how bad he looked at 205. I was shocked because I remember I wrote a whole article praising Jacare and saying how his move to the 205 division was going to be like this huge thing for the UFC, and I was way off. Oh, my goodness gracious. I was so off. Oh, man. That's why I stopped doing predictions. Every time I predict something, it's so wrong. You know, I might as well just not even say anything. But, you know, so I was – yeah, I couldn't have been any more wrong about Jacare. So now – if you think that I would tell anybody to bet on Jacare, then I got a bridge in Brooklyn I want to sell you. That'd be a cold day in hell that I say anything positive about Jacare going into this fight, because he has looked god awful. And Uriah Hall, I haven't seen in a long time. The last time I saw Uriah Hall fight was he fought Paulo Costa a while back. I'm pretty sure that was his last fight. And he stayed in there with Paulo Costa. I want to say, I don't know if it how it ended, but I want to say Uriah Hall took a lot of shots from Costa, and he stayed in there. So took a lot of shots to the body, and he stayed in there. I forget if it was a late finish or what.
He fought in September, bro. He fought Carlos Jr. in September of 2019.
Yeah, he lost to Paulo Costa by knockout in the second round. But yeah, he beat Carlos Jr. by split decision in December, in September.
Oh, okay, so I'm a little off base with that. Josh, are you gonna stick around for predictions or?
I could ask you your prediction, but for a few.
All right.
Yeah, no,
I'd
probably go with Hall myself. Honestly, I really like his reach advantage, 7.5 reach advantage. That's pretty solid, I'd say. Probably the only thing that scares me about Souza is maybe his submission skills, his ground game. But I could see Hall taking the W here, either by a unanimous decision or potentially a TKO.
Yeah, I'll probably go with Uriah Hall by unanimous decision. I think he's gonna have a beastly performance, and Jacare is just gonna lay a goose egg. He's just going to lay a goose egg in this fight, and you may not even win a round, because the way he's been performing lately, I don't know what happens to him, but I can't put stock into him right now. So the next one, Fabricio Verdum and Alexio Linick. So this fight right here is absolutely crazy, because this is two guys who are – both of their ground game is very high level. I think Verdum's is probably better, a lot of people would say. But both guys are like high level veterans. This is a true veteran fight. Lee, I would think you would be big on this fight right here, Verdum versus Olenek, because this is a true veteran fight.
I think he has a solid ground game, but I don't think he really wants to play that game with Fabricio. Fabricio Verdum ground game. It's probably one of the top ground games in the game today. So I think Olenek, his best chance is to keep the fight on his feet, test Fabricio's cardio. He's been out for like 2 years. He's been out for a while. So with that being said, I'm going to go with Olenek, man. I think Olenek pulls it off. I think the rain rust will probably affect Verdum early. If Verdun doesn't get him out of there by the first, maybe by the second round, I think he's in for a long night, probably in the middle of the second and third round. So I'm going to go with Olenek, man. And Olenek would be smart not to wrestle with Fabricio. If he does, he will get submitted in that fight.
Yeah, because the last time Verdum fought, I'm pretty sure he fought Walt Harris, which was like on like a day's notice. I think it was like the same day. Verdum's opponent a couple years ago fell out, and then Walt Harris stepped in, and this was when Walt Harris wasn't – he was still kind of like early in the UFC. He was still kind of getting his feet wet, and he got submitted. I mean, it's not really much to say. You got tapped by Verdum, but he got tapped by Verdum like within like – I think it was like the first minute or two of the fight. And I think that was the last time Verdum fought, but Walt Harris is doing great now. He's on one of the next cards. We'll get to that, but – anyways, this one, I have no idea who's going to win because these types of fights are ones where guys end up standing and bang. They might stand in and bang him because they're both kind of wary of each other's, what each other can do on the ground. So they might end up just standing and banging. But if it does go to the ground, I mean, I know Verdum, I'd probably lean Verdum. I mean, he has the ring rust, but at the same time, ring rust isn't always a factor. And some of these guys have proved that they ring rust really doesn't even exist for them. I mean, look at Nate Diaz. He didn't fight for 3 years, and he came back, and in my opinion, he looked great versus Showtime Pettis last year. So, I mean, ring rust, what is ring rust? So, yeah, I'll probably go with Verdum for this fight. I think Verdum probably second round, you know, maybe rear naked choke, second round submission of some sort.
I'm going to come out the gate with a bold prediction and say it's going to be on the ground, and Olenek's going to get a submission within the first two rounds. That's my bold prediction for this fight. I like Olenek in a submission within the first two rounds.
Well, I think they both listed as Brazilian jiu-jitsu fighters, I think. So, man, I just don't want it to become a man-humping fest. Because normally when you get these guys that like to grapple, it becomes a dry hump, and that is so boring to watch. So hopefully Olenek will keep it on his feet and, you know, and get it that way. But if they do go to the ground, I wouldn't mind seeing, you know, a sub attempt reverse into another sub attempt reverse into, you know, somebody in full guard. You know, something like that. That is action-packed. But when you just land on somebody trying to get side control and all that, that's just
that's
not appeasing to the fan.
Yeah. It's like holding the right analog stick in UFC.
Yeah.
So, two of them.
I don't know if you play UFC on Xbox, but...
We're just going to leap forward to the next fight. Vicente Luque and Nico Price. You know, I said I figured this one could be potential fight of the night. Lee, you said this is the most you're looking forward to this one the most. So this should be a good one to talk about. Lee, you might as well do your prediction first since this is your fight right here.
Oh, man, this fight is so hard to pick, man.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, Nico Price, man, he actually looked good in his last couple fights, even though, you know, he's alternated wins and losses in his last four fights. And, you know, but he's beat the names. He beat James Vick. He beat Tim Means. But then you lose to Neil. But Neil ain't a bad fighter, though. Neil is actually a great fighter. Jeff Neil is a good fighter. But with all that being said, I'm going with Vicente Luque to win this fight. Probably with a third round stoppage. I think this will probably be possible fight of the night. And I'm going with Vicente with a stoppage in the third round, man.
So I'm going to just jump right in and say I'm going with a split draw for this fight. I think it's going to be a split draw.
Split draw?
A split that dry, he says.
Go ahead, man. Go ahead and finish.
All right. So, oh, man, I'm cracking up.
All right.
Yeah, I'm going with a split draw because. Oh, God. All right. So, hey, it could also be a double knockout. Who knows? Split draw, double knockout. I feel like they're both possible with this. These two guys, I feel like, are very evenly matched. They both had fights with high-level guys. Vicente just had a fight with Wonderboy, and obviously a very high-level welterweight. And like you said, Nico Price had fought James Vick. He had that, like, flash knockout with James Vick, which was, like, one of the craziest flash knockouts I've ever seen because it was, like, he knocked him out with the heel of his foot. It was, like, a heel kick. It was, like, an unintentional heel kick knockout. Like, he wasn't even really trying. I feel like Price was just, like, throwing his feet in the air, like, just how anybody would, like, in that position, whether you practice MMA or not. And you would just throw you kind of, like, bicycle kick your legs in the air, and he knocked him out. I don't even think he meant to do that, but it was absolutely beautiful. And both these guys, I just don't really see getting knocked out. I don't know if these guys get knocked out, so I just don't imagine it. I think it'll be a split draw. I think they're going to go third round. It's going to be an absolute bloody mess. If it isn't a split draw, someone's going to get a split decision because I think they're going to slug it out, and it probably will be the fight of the night if Ferguson and Gaethje doesn't get fight of the night.
Yeah, I'd probably have to go with Luque. The fact that he's won four out of his last five fights. Obviously, his last fight was a loss, but I'm liking the last four out of five there. And he shows he can go the distance. He can go well into the third round. Price seems to always finish early on in the rounds within the first couple of rounds. So if it goes more than two rounds, I definitely like Luque. But either way, I still like Luque in this fight.
All right, so next one up here, prelim main event, which, like I was saying before, this prelims card could pretty much be a fight night main card because it's just, like, a very good, a lot of good scraps.
You still calling Sparza Michelle Waterson.
You know what it was? I saw that, but it was just in the order that I was going in. That one was underneath my starting point,
okay, and
in the interest of time. You want to do that one? Want to do that one right now?
No. All I was going to say is Michelle Waterson normally fights better against women that like to wrestle versus women that like to strike. And Esparza is a wrestler. So I think Michelle Waterson would look better in this fight than she did against Joanna because she really isn't a quality striker, where she's a good technical fighter. So I wouldn't be surprised. I think Michelle Waterson pulls it out by a split decision over Carla Esparza. If Esparza can strike, if her striking has improved and she can push Waterson back, she has a chance of winning. But I just think she's been more of a wrestler lately, and I think that plays into the pocket of Michelle Waterson. And I'll go with the karate hottie with the win.
All right. So
I'm probably going to be going into the kitchen to grab a beer during this fight. Might take a quick nap. All right.
So great timing.
Myself ready
great
for the
timing.
Main pad.
Because, great timing. There's another caller on the line. I'm gonna jump this caller into the call right now. I also have. I'm gonna have to grab another beer at this point too, so we can get into the main card. Is this Evan?
Man. Hello.
Is this Evan?
Yeah. What's up? How you doing?
I recognize your number at this point, bro. That's what it is.
That's good stuff right there. We like that.
Yeah. No. I knew the first three. I just used to you. It's good. You haven't been on here in a minute though, so I'm happy to see you call in tonight.
No, absolutely. I missed the earlier show. I was doing something, but I was like, I got to get on because I know there's plenty to talk about. You know, even without this fight card, just in MMA in general.
Man, this is a great time to have called in because we have gotten to the exact point of where I wanted you to call in. This is the exact moment. We have just arrived. We're in the predictions, and we have just arrived at the prelim main event, and I feel like this is the perfect moment for you to jump in and give a prediction. So here we are. Lee had just gave his prediction for Esparza and Watterson. I don't have a prediction for that one. I'm just going to put my faith into Lee's pick, and I'm going to go with Watterson too because I think Lee is right, and that's our pick. But we're going to go into Pettis. We're going to go into Anthony Pettis versus Donna Cerrone, which is apparently a rematch. I didn't even know that they had fought before. When I had saw that it was going to happen, I was like, it seems like this is a rematch, but I didn't actually know it was a rematch. Because I never saw their other fight, but it just when you look at the two of them, they've been in the same divisions for like mostly their entire career. They both kind of bounce between 170 and 155. So you just look at it and you're like, how would it be 2020 and this is the first time they'd ever fought? So it makes sense. But anyways, hit the rematch. Pettis and Cerrone. Pettis is a -150 favorite. Cerrone is a +125. I figure the +125 could have something to do with the fact that he's been knocked out in three of his last three fights. That could have something to do with it. Neither one of them has looked impressive, you know, lately. Neither one has had a good performance in their last few fights. So they're kind of both in a weird spot. But my prediction for this one is, I mean, I want to say the logical pick is to go with Pettis. Just based off how Cerrone's been seeming very fragile lately, the way he's been getting hit. I mean, but at the same time, if you look at the guys he's fought, he has been fighting like all top five lightweights. He's fighting all championship level fighters, but then Pettis always fights championship level fighters too, and he's been losing. So this is a really hard fight. I want Cerrone to win, but I'm going to go with Pettis. I think Pettis will probably. I don't think it'll be a knockout, though. I don't think it'll be a knockout. I think Pettis is gonna take him down at some point. I think Pettis second round submission. That's what I'm gonna go with on this fight. And whoever wants to go do a prediction first, feel free to just jump in and go ahead.
All right,
Evan, Lee, whoever.
All right. Just for the record, their first fight, Pettis hit Cowboy with a body shot and it put him down immediately. So it's not, you know, I don't know if it was a close fight or not. I don't remember. I just remember that body shot. What's it called? Like you said, it is such a close fight. Neither have looked good in their past fights. You know, Cowboy looks good at 170. You know, he had that streak. His body's healthy. Pettis, on the other hand,
that's a good point.
You know, everybody talks about the Wonder Boy fight, and like he was small against Wonder Boy, but then again, he landed the big shot and he set it up perfectly, and you know the knockout. You know, there's controversy with the fluke, but regardless, it really is a tough fight to pick. But I did hear someone say something about how Cowboy, his jiu-jitsu, his ground game is very underrated. So I'm going to go opposite your pick, Keys, and I'm going to say Cowboy by submission, and I'll see round two.
I mean, that's fine with me. I hope Cowboy wins. I just pick him Pettis, but I hope Cowboy wins. I hope you're right. Lee or Josh, you will give a prediction for this one whenever you're ready.
I'll go last.
I'm pretty much hoping for a stand-up fight here. I hope they go at it. I want to see a knockout. I could see a knockout by Pettis third round. Second and third.
All right, Lee, it's on you.
Third round, Michael Lee.
Two Pettis,
one
Cerrone.
I'm going with Evan on this one. I'm going with Cerrone, man. I think Cerrone, after he came out and made those comments about that he wasn't motivated for the Conor fight and all that, I think it kind of puts him in a negative light a little bit because that's like your biggest fight to date, your biggest money fight to date, and you come in and say that you wasn't prepared. So, and then he lost to Pettis via first-round knockout the last time they fought. I'm going with Cerrone, man. I think Cerrone was probably a decision. I see this fight going a distance. He just has to come in and be smart. I think when Cerrone fights smart, he looks better. And when his body is rested, he looks better. So that being said, I'm going to go with Cerrone winning by decision. And I wouldn't be surprised if he won via head kick knockout. So I'm going with Cerrone, man. We're Evan on this one.
Thank you.
All right, there you have it. So we are finally at the time. It's the main card time. So I figure we're gonna bypass Lee on the Greg Hardy pick. I figure he will not make a pick unless he does make a pick. But that's yet to be seen. Josh, I'm just going to hand over to you.
I'll make my pick real quick. Jorgen De Castro wins this fight.
Is it a first-round knockout?
I don't care how he does it.
All right.
I'm just tired of Greg Hardy being on the main card. That's just my ilk right now. I'm just tired of it. And if he keeps losing fights, it'll put him down where he needs to be on the prelims. I'm going with De Castro winning this fight.
Josh, you have a pick for this? Hardy, De Castro?
I got Hardy winning easy.
Is it a first round knockout?
First round knockout.
All right, Evan, pick for Hardy Castro?
I'm going to say Hardy, but I'm very interested in this one because of the fact that Hardy's opponents, I know heavyweight, at heavyweight you're immediately like you're a power puncher because you're just a heavyweight, you're a big dude, but I feel this Jorgen guy, De Castro, is like the first real power puncher that he's fought. Like, he fought Juan Adams, whatever. Volkov pieced him up. I forget the other people, but I think this is going to be a good one, but I'm going to take Hardy on this one. I'm going to say first round as well. I think they're just going to go out it and, like, give us they're going to give us exactly what the UFC wants us to get in a first round knockout. Somebody. Well, I think Hardy.
So what I'm looking at with this is, because I had to pull up Jorgen De Castro's stat line just to understand a little bit, because there's a lot of misinterpretations here. So I thought Jorgen De Castro was much more of a prospect. Now, people that are very much into MMA like to say guys that are like 3-0 are prospects, but that doesn't really tell the whole story. I kind of study the patterns a little bit, and I can see like what's happening. And what I'm trying to say is that this guy, De Castro, has really not been battle tested. Like, this guy, I mean, Greg Hardy has fought like much better competition than this guy, if we're really being honest. Greg Hardy has fought heavyweights. This guy has not. This guy, he only has one fight in the UFC. I mean, he has a contender series fight, and he has a first-round knockout over Justin Taffa, who actually Taffa just finished, just knocked out Juan Adams, who Greg Hardy also knocked out. So it's just a pool of knockouts between these guys. But De Castro definitely has not been battle-tested, and Greg Hardy has. So, in that case, I haven't seen Castro fight. I mean, I think Hardy's going to win. Greg Hardy's going to win. It's going to be... I think Greg Hardy probably second round knockout, if not that, unanimous decision. I don't think this Castro guy is at the level with his resume as to where people have painted him. Definitely not.
Just so everybody knows, I'm not being objective with my pick. This is just a personal bias.
I like how you, but it, yo, you just, hey, it's honest. It's honest. It's okay. I appreciate that. We like personal biases here. We're not biased personal biases. So that's okay. I have a personal favoritism towards Conor McGregor, and that tends to show a lot of the times, and that's just what it is. I'm honest, and that's what it is. So I mean, we'll get to that on a later show. But anyways, the next fight, we have Calvin Kattar versus Jeremy Stephens. And it's funny that you talk about personal biases, Lee, because I'm about to be personally biased with this one to like the 1,000th degree, because I think Calvin Kattar is going to absolutely wipe Jeremy Stephens off the map. He's going to absolutely obliterate him. Jeremy Stephens missed weight. He was the only one on the entire card who missed weight. He weighed in at 150 and a half pounds. He's trying to play the same game pretty much the Beat played when he fought Kattar. And even though he lost to Zabit, I think he looked good. And, you know, this is Massachusetts' own. This is Massachusetts' kingdom. And Kattar is going to absolutely destroy Stephens. That's my prediction. It's going to be a second round knockout. Can't wait.
All right, Evan.
Oh, sugar. All right. I had a feeling that you were going to be biased to Cater. I was literally going to say that before you said something, but I was like, whatever. I'll let it happen. I'm in agreement, though.
I'm from Massachusetts. Cater, You know what's funny? I actually know a guy that knows Calvin Cater in real life. Like, I never met him, but my barber who used to cut my hair is boys with Calvin Cater. He actually used to tell me about him before he really got into the top 15 in the featherweight division. But before that time, he used to say, oh, I know you watch UFC a lot, Keys. Like, you know Calvin Kattar? And I was like, nah, who's that? Like, because I was just being a casual, and I just didn't know who he was. But then now it's kind of crazy. So I kind of third-party know Calvin Kattar. So you know I got to be biased.
No. And actually, to add to that real fast, Calvin Kattar had a big win against Shane Burgos in Boston, I think a few cards ago. I do kickboxing for Team Tiger Showmans. They're like all over New York. I'm in New Jersey. They have a few in New Jersey. And I almost got to meet Shane Burgos. Like they had like competition.
Oh, really?
And like, yeah. And I don't think he follows me on Instagram. I think one of the Tiger Showman people do, but like he's commented back and forth with me on Twitter. So like, I feel exactly what you're saying.
So who do you got for a prediction?
I'm taking Calvin 100%. I think his boxing is better. His footwork's better. I think he's just all around the better fighter, and clearly he's going to be healthier. I just think it's his time. I personally think Stephens did not look good at the weigh-ins. And I don't think Stephens actually looks good at 45. I don't think he has looked good at 45 in a little bit, besides his performances, just the way he looks on the scale. So I think a return to 155 might be in Stephens' future. But, yes, I'm going with Calvin. I'm going to say second round TKO.
Hey, we got the same pick. Hey, Kattar does have Chris boxing. He does have Chris boxing. You look back at the way – you used to go look back in the way he fought Ricardo Lamas. Just go back and watch Ricardo Lamas fight if anybody forgot, and you will be reminded. Ask and you shall receive. Lee, you have a prediction for Kattar Stephens?
Is Josh still on?
Yeah,
he's still on. Josh, you got a prediction
I'll
for Kattar Stephens?
I could say unanimous decision, Kattar.
Massachusetts.
Clean sweep for Kattar, man. I think Jeremy Stephens is one of, like I said earlier, I think he's one of these guys that's now, he's not a title contender guy anymore. You know, he's basically in the stage of his career where now he might be considered a gateway fighter. Then with him missing weight is definitely a bad look. I'm going with Kattar, man. I think Kattar wins it in the first round. Via TKO. I just think now we'll start seeing the passing of the guard between the old guys and the new guys. We'll definitely start seeing more of that probably within the next year and a half. We'll see a lot of these guys like Calvin Kattar come up, Corey Sandhagen, There's going to be more young guys coming up, man, to put some of these old lines to pasture, man. And I think it starts Saturday night with Cater taking off Stevens.
All right. So clean sweep for Calvin Cater. Next one. So this is a big one.
Okay.
I think we should start out, Josh. Josh, you should start out with your prediction for this one because it's Francis Ngannou versus Jair Rozenstruik. Go ahead.
I really hope these two go at it. They slack and just play a defensive game. I'm going to be very disappointed, but I'm just going to hope for the best here. I see a great fight. I hope they're throwing the hands. I'd probably go with Ngannou. First round knockout.
Wow.
Wow.
Going for it.
Wow. Okay.
Wow.
A lot of bold predictions over here.
I see.
First round.
If
yeah,
you look,
well.
Look, Ngannou's last three fights, first round knockouts. I'll leave it at
yeah,
that.
I mean, he's a first round knockout guy. If he doesn't get it done in the first round, the fight usually leans towards the other guy. But, you know, if the fight
sure.
is the end of the first round, it's not going to be you knocking him out. It's going to be you hitting the canvas. Lee, you got to.
I'm with Josh on this fight. I just hope that it doesn't materialize into Ngannou Lewis. I hope they come out and they come out and fight because both of these guys have power in their hands and they're knockout specialists. I'm going to go in Ngannou winning via second round knockout. My only thing is if Rozenstruik can take him down. If Rozenstruik has any takedown to him, he would get Ngannou problems because we all know Ngannou cannot fight off his back, and he's not a guy that likes to be on the mat. So if Rozenstruik comes out and show us something that we haven't seen before, it could definitely make for an interesting matchup. I'm going with Ngannou and his experience, second round knockout. But if Rozenstruik takes him down, it might be a long night for Ngannou.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Josh too. I think first round knockout for Ngannou. If like I was saying earlier, if Rose can make it through the first round, weather the storm, and let Ngannou, you know, throw his heavy shots and obviously not let them connect, but you know, let him throw out a lot of his power in the first round because that's what he tends to do with those, you know, heavy uppercuts and overhands that he throws. Let him throw out a lot of his power. It'll edge towards Rozenstruik if he can make it into the second round, but I'm just not sure he'll be able to do that. Yeah, I'm going to go with Ngannou first round knockout. I just think it's more likely. Evan, Ngannou, Rozenstruik pick, you got a prediction?
I think I obviously we got 3-0 for Ngannou guy. You know, I don't know if you guys saw the face-offs, but
yeah, I saw it.
Like,
he towers over Rozenstruik. It's pretty bad.
Someone made a joke that Rozenstruik looked like one UFC worker. Like he just didn't have and that's not really a knock on him. That's a hype on how big Ngannou is.
Yeah.
But the thing is, you know, Ngannou's biggest test was Stipe, and he did not pass it, and then came back, was scared against Lewis, but then he got his, you know, he got his wits against Curtis, and then he figured out the game plan against, I know he fought JDS, and I forget who else he fought. Oh, that's right.
Oh, that's quick.
With the controversy with the knee. But I think, I'm picking Rozenstruik. I think Rozenstruik is going to shock everyone because clear that he has power, and I think this is going to be, like I said with the Greg Hardy thing, the first time Francis has fought someone with clear-cut power. Like, Stipe's got power. heavyweights have power, but Rozenstruik and Francis clearly have that big, genuine one-punch knockout power. So I'm going to take Rozenstruik, and I'm going to hopefully pick it in the first round. I don't want to see it go any longer than the first round.
All right. So this is a moment of truth right now. We're entering the title, the top of the title area of the card, the title time in the card. The first one, we could probably have Lee start off with this one. I know you don't agree with this fight because Cruz kind of just came in and got a title shot, and he hasn't fought, you know, since, it's been like 10 years since Cruz has fought pretty much. And he just came in and got a title shot. But I still want to hear your prediction, though, being that the fight is taking place. Cejudo and Cruz.
All right, just to echo what my man Key just said, I definitely am totally against Dominique Cruz fighting for the belt. I thought it should be Aljamain Sterling or Petr Yan fighting for this belt. I just don't understand how the UFC keeps. First it was Aldo, then they put Cruz in here, and neither one of these guys basically deserve a title shot. With that being said, as much as I don't like this fight, I'm going with Dominique Cruz to win the belt. I think he takes Cejudo out. I just think Dominique Cruz is a technician in there. He can do things that Cejudo probably hasn't seen before. And if you really look at Cejudo's record, he's lost to Demetrius Johnson, who couldn't beat Dominique Cruz. I think Demetrius Johnson lost to Dominique Cruz twice. And T.J. Dillashaw also lost to Dominique Cruz, even though I thought T.J. won that fight. But I'm going with Dominique Cruz to win this fight. He really doesn't have knockout power or nothing like that, so I don't think Cejudo needs to be worried about that. So I think Dominique Cruz wins by unanimous decision. And new bantamweight champion, Dominique Cruz.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think Cruz is going to take this one. It took me a while to really think about this one. It took me, like, pretty much this entire week. I kind of just had it, like, lingering in my mind, thinking about, like, the possibilities in this fight. And Josh was telling me to stop overthinking the fights and just enjoy them. So I'm going to try to do that tomorrow. But Cruz, I feel like, though, after a lot of deliberation, I feel like Cruz is you know, even though the ring rust, like I was saying before, I don't really think ring rust affects every fighter. I don't think it's, like, that legitimate of a thing. Like, sometimes it does, depending on, like, what the fighter has, like, necessarily been doing during their time off and, like, how, like, intertwined they were with fighting. Where Cruz has been, like, doing commentary the entire time, I feel like he's been, like, very intertwined with MMA still, and he never has taken his mind off the sport, and I feel like he's been, like, watching closely the entire time, and I feel like he trains all the time too, so I think he's kept himself fresh, you know, given the injuries he's had, you know, when you can't train and when he can't train. But I think if Dominic Cruz is healthy and there's no, like, low-key injuries that we don't know about, and, you know, he makes it to the cage all right, and there's no broken foot that we don't know about, or, you know, no dislocated, you know, shoulder or torn rotator cuff that we don't know about, any of these, like, you know, freak injuries, I think he's going to dominate Cejudo. I think it's going to be a clinic that Cruz is going to put on, and it's going to blow people away. And he could get he may very well get performance of the night bonus for it, and he'll be the new bantamweight champion. And it's going to blow people away. If he is 100% healthy, he's going to blow people away. That's my prediction. It's going to be a unanimous decision. It's going to be a domination striking clinic. Evan,
all
you got
right,
a prediction for Cejudo Cruz?
Of course. With how Cejudo looked good against Marais, but after Marais kind of
gassed
and pushed around. Also, the problem with Marais is he's going to be a champion at some point, definitely a top fighter. But to me, he kind of appears to be that kind of muscled brawler at 135. You know, if I remember correctly, his footwork's very stationary. Like, he's fast, he's quick, but he's kind of very, like, you know, forward and back, not really side to side. So I think, and, like, when you look at the opposition that Cejudo has fought, his closest test to Cruz would have been TJ, but it wasn't a healthy TJ, and he put him out too fast to even really get an idea of that footwork that Cruz is going to implement. Plus, Cruz towered over him at the weigh-ins. And personally, just based off, I think, size, reach, and just movement from Cruz, I think we're going to see, once again, Cruz come back from injury and just take that belt back and just continue to prove that he is arguably the best bantamweight of all time.
An absolute clinic. Great prediction, Evan. You predicted a clinic.
Yes, sir.
All right, Josh, go ahead. Prediction. So, Cejudo Cruz.
So, in reference to what you refer to as ring rust, last time Cruz fought was December 30th, 2016, in which he lost to a unanimous decision at UFC 207. And that was back when Ronda Rousey was in the UFC. So just pointing that out. But with that being said, I see Cruz pulling the upset here. I really like him in this fight. I like his height. I like his striking. I like his footwork. I'm definitely fearful of Cejudo's quickness and how he just seems to just, like, come at you so quick, you know, with those fiery hands.
Explosiveness. Very explosive.
Yeah, he's a very, very explosive fighter, in fact. But I think Cruz is going to be able to manage it. And I see him. I see him with second or third round knockout. I don't know. Tough to say. Or a submission, honestly. I see Cruz with a submission. I'll go Cruz with a second or third round submission.
All right.
Oh,
and that
man.
Brings us into. No, go ahead.
Oh, man, that's kind of scary. Everybody picked Cruz to win, or did Evan pick Cejudo?
Cruz.
Nah, we all picked Cruz. Clean sweep
for
Cejudo and clean sweep for Cruz tonight.
Wow.
I like that.
Imagine
plus
190. Imagine that.
I like that plus 190.
Hey, just a side note. Hey, Keith, I think we should do a DraftKings tomorrow.
Yeah, I just got to re-download the app. I'm down to do a DraftKings. A good call
all right,
for it.
Just let me know. Send me an invite.
All right.
$2.
All right. I just got to reinstall it. I haven't done DraftKings in probably like a year. But and I'm open to all other bets, too. I know, Evan, you were talking – Evan, weren't we talking about doing some regular bets, too?
Yeah.
Probably like
yeah,
maybe some Cash App bets or something like that.
Yeah, something simple, something nice.
Yeah, if we could, we could probably figure something out. I know I had Cejudo at first, but now I got Cruz, so we probably obviously can't bet on that one. But I mean, we could, but
well,
I'd rather
yeah, you could always do methods.
We'll get something together.
Absolutely.
But, yeah, Lee, that's always on the table too. If you want to do straight bets like that, I don't know if that's in your wheelhouse or not, but if it were. And they're available.
I like DraftKings.
Okay. So we'll stroll into the main event now. The Tony. Okay, I've been talking about this all week. Let me get it together. The interim lightweight title bout: Tony Ferguson, 12 win streak versus Justin Gaethje, 4-2 in the UFC, 3 straight first round knockouts for Justin Gaethje in his past 3 fights. So I guess you could say a 12-win streak versus a 3-win streak, but it kind of gets – Ferguson's win streak dwarfs pretty much anybody's win streak, so it's kind of, like, incomparable. Anyways, interim lightweight titles on the line. Whoever wants to start,
Anybody want to volunteer to start with their prediction? Unless I'll just start with mine. Anybody want to go first?
I'll go last.
Lee, you want to go first? Lee wants to go
yeah,
last.
Go
all
last.
Right, close out the show. Josh wants to go
just,
second.
I don't know about that. Yeah, I mean, I definitely don't see this being a first-round knockout. No way in fucking hell. At least not for Gaethje. So, I think he's going to probably tire out, dude. Ferguson's just going to completely dominate the fight. I don't know. Hopefully it's not a submission. Hopefully it's a knockout. I'd probably lean more towards submission, but just for a good measure, I'll say it's a third-round knockout.
Okay. Evan, you want to go ahead and give you a Ferguson Gaethje prediction?
Sure. So I'm taking Gaethje, and
okay.
I think the biggest reason why I'm taking Gaethje is because in Tony's last few fights, when he fought Kevin Lee, then I think came back and fought Pettis, and then I at some point fought Cowboy. The three things those fights have in common is Ferguson got hit clean. It's just, you know, none of them could really capitalize on, like, you know, like Pettis did a little bit, but it just didn't work out for him because that's just Pettis' deal, whatever.
He
exactly.
Broke his hand.
You know, we all know what happened with the Kevin Lee thing, and then we have know what happened with the Cowboy thing. I think with Gaethje, with Ferguson's style, you know, he wants to literally run at you, front kicks to the body all day, push you up against the cage, and just haunt you like El Kakui. Like, literally, he wants to basically just, you know, take you down. I think if he allows himself to be too open and, like, has his chin up and doesn't – I have a feeling that if he just lets Gaethje have such a little moment of room to land a punch, I think it's going to be big trouble for Ferguson. So I'm going to take Gaethje. I'm gonna go wild card. I'm gonna say first round.
Oh
wow!
First round knockout.
I hope it does.
First round knockout.
That'd be so
crazy.
Funny.
Was that a first round knockout?
Yep.
All right, because I couldn't imagine you were saying like Gaethje first round renegade choke or anything like that. He doesn't really do that.
Oh God, no.
Yeah, no, that would be. I can imagine the betting line for that. Gaethje by submission, oh my God, it's probably like plus 4,000. But anyways, you know, the Lord would have to come down for Gaethje to get a submission in this fight.
Ferguson would have to submit himself, bro, for Gaethje to win by decision.
Yeah, no, it'd be more likely for Ferguson to knock himself out somehow than for Gaethje to submit him. Ferguson would somehow... Ferguson would ankle pick himself before Gaethje would. Yeah, there's just no chance of it happening.
Real fast, not to interrupt, real fast, it's plus 7,500 for Gaethje to win by first round submission.
God, hey, I said plus 4,000 is plus 7,500. Wow, they even beat my thing.
It's plus 3,800 for him just to win by submission in just general.
What about for him to win by knockout?
That's because
he never
went for a submission.
First round knockout for Gaethje, what's that line? It's probably pretty close. It's probably like plus 500.
First round knockout for Gaethje is plus 550.
Oh, I was close. Yeah. I said plus 500. Man, I might be the odds maker. I said plus 500. All right. Anyways, let me get it together. All right, so, Josh, what was your prediction again?
Ferguson.
You said Ferguson. What round? Third round knockout.
Third round.
And Evan said Gaethje first round knockout. Lee, you want me? All right, Lee, you said go last. So I'm gonna go right now. All right. 1-1. So my thing is this. My thing is Gaethje is. If you look at both of their last three fights. You would see the three first-round knockouts and say Gaethje's a lot more dangerous. And I understood what Evan was saying about Ferguson kind of – the way he kind of likes to get into these brawls. If he were to leave his chin open for a minute and Gaethje connects, he would be in more trouble than he would have been then, like, compared to the way he was in trouble when he fought Pettis, or like the way he was in trouble when he fought Kevin Lee. I mean, I guess you could argue that Gaethje hits harder than both of those guys. I mean, that's left to be debated. I don't really know who has the most power, but I mean, I think Ferguson was in trouble in both of those fights. He could have been finished in both those fights, and he always finds a way to come back and win. And I feel like that would be no different here. And I think Ferguson, like, just looking at it from all angles, Ferguson has so many more weapons and he brings so much more into the fight. Gaethje pretty much just brings, you know, a lot of punches and a lot of leg kicks, and he doesn't even really attack the body that much. I think Ferguson attacks the body a lot more. You know, I think he'll throw a lot more body strikes than Gaethje, and I think that will be a huge factor as well. We could even see a KO via body, via strike to the body. It could even be via kicks to the body or something of that nature. But I think Ferguson just has so many more ways to win, and it's just I think the odds are in his favor in this one. Plus, he's going to try to win his second interim lightweight title. I don't think he's going to drop the ball here. I think his head's in the game. I mean, the man is, he's, in my opinion, he very well may be the best lightweight in UFC history. I mean, the only thing that could possibly debate that is like BJ Penn in his prime. That's the only other lightweight that I think could even contest, at least that I know of, that could contest Ferguson to be the best lightweight ever. I mean, as far as being well-rounded, if you're talking about being well-rounded, then Ferguson and that and BJ Penn, that's pretty much the cream of the crop. But, yeah, I think Ferguson, I mean, I think he could win strikes. You know, he could win knockout by, like, a body kick or something like that. I definitely think that could happen. A submission definitely could happen, too. I'm going to say it's Ferguson by fourth round submission. I think it's going to be a fourth round Darce choke. I think that's what's going to happen. And there's going to be a lot of, if Gaethje is going to be battered, I think there's going to be a lot of kicks to the body. He's going to be in very rough shape by the time he gets taken to the mat. He's not going to have any, there's going to be nothing he can do. It's going to be, I think it's going to be like kind of hard to watch. I think Gaethje is going to get battered in this fight. It's going to be very bad. Ferguson is, yeah, Ferguson fourth round Darce choke. That's my prediction. Lee, Gaethje, Ferguson, it's you.
Okay. Okay. I kind of agree with Evan that if Gaethje is going to win, he has to win in the first two rounds because he really hasn't had a full camp. So if he gets it done, it definitely has to be in the first two rounds. I think if he doesn't get it done in the first two rounds, then basically it's going to be a battle of cardio and attrition. And I think Tony wins a battle of attrition and cardio against Gaethje. I take my hat off to Gaethje for taking this fight, being that he knew he wasn't going to be able to have a full camp. And basically Tony has been training basically probably since it was announced that he was going to fight Khabib. That being said, I'm going to go with Tony via submission in the fourth round. Gaethje puts on a hell of a performance. He comes close to finishing Tony probably in the first or second round, doesn't get it done, and Tony comes back and finishes him off in the fourth round via submission.
Well, there you have it. UFC 249 tomorrow. It's going to be unbelievable. super excited. Definitely going to be going nuts tomorrow when I wake up. it's like fight day for me is an entire day. It's the entire day. It's not fight night. It's fight day and night. It's fight the entire thing. From the morning time on, it's fight day. I'm gonna be through the roof, and I can't wait for this event. And that's it. I'm glad. Thank you for everybody who listens. Hour and a half. We got a good one in tonight. We were talking about those lengthier shows earlier, and we definitely got one in. It's kind of hard not to, with you know, all the crazy fights on this card. I knew the predictions were gonna take a minute, so I had to try to get to them, as quick as we could. Thank you for everybody who listened. Thank you guys for calling in tonight, Evan, Josh. Thank you guys for calling in. And I look forward to the event tomorrow. Everybody stay safe and enjoy the fight. Lee, you want to close it out?
Oh, yeah. Hey, thanks to Josh and Evan for joining us tonight, you know, doing predictions and talking UFC. I know everybody's looking forward to tomorrow night, you know, to having a live sporting event. To all the mothers out there, happy Mother's Day. Have a great weekend. That being said, everybody be safe. Everybody have fun. Everybody enjoy the fights. Lee and Keys will be very active next week because we have a Wednesday card next week and we have a Saturday card next week. So we'll probably get with you guys on Tuesday and probably Friday. But me and Keys will work that out. That being said.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Everybody, have fun. Be safe. Stay home. Take care of yourselves. The UFC is back. Peace.